You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
That is Don't Care by Samara Alofa. Kia ora, Samara. How are you this morning?
We're good. How are you?
Good. It's nice to be able to chat to you, especially since the release of this gorgeous new track, BTTG, which you put out on Spookiest Day of the Year, 31st of October. Was that a decision you made on purpose?
Not really. We wanted to release something, around this time, and then we sort of discussed it with those in our team that were helping us, and then we're like, oh yeah, Halloween would be a good day. So we're like, yeah and nah.
Yeah and nah.
Almost wasn't going to come out on that day. I sent the wrong files and stuff. But, yeah, you know, that buzz.
But, I do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's made its way into the world, and it does feel like a suitably spooky track to have come out on a Halloween type of a vibe. It has got a wonderful kind of haunted love story energy to it. What were you thinking about, or sort of what space were you exploring when you were writing this track?
For me, it's not spooky at all, but I think, people can, take it how it is. Can kind of take it however they want, really. But for us, the actual poetry of the lyrics is, it's actually completely, platonic intimacy between a seer and the things that they see, in the other worlds. Mm-hmm. I think that's, where the, sort of spooky essence comes from it, but for me it's thinking about intimacy between our sort of ancestral otherworldly things, and having a genuine relationship and love with those worlds, rather than I think it sort of sounds I think people have sort of just projected onto it some sort of sensual thing, just because of how it's worded, but.
People hear a something that has anything that they could construe as a love song lyric in it, and you go to all of the ideas that have been set up, but actually if you listen properly, it's not telling you that same story. It's telling you something quite different in that space.
Yeah, I think that's why people are just going to perceive it however they want to perceive it.
But, yeah.
I think it's any songwriter knows that as well. It's you write the song and you have your story and your connection with a song, but people are gonna project whatever they think, onto it. And it's you sort of have to let that go as well.
Mm. It's an interesting second life that a track has once you release it, eh?
Yeah, hard out. And then, your poem, lyrics and stuff, and you could write a poem or some lyrics and somebody else could sing it, and it would be completely different meaning, because they've put their experience and their frequency onto it.
Totally. I think that's something I always feel whenever I've seen you perform, Samara, is it always feels like a different version of the track that I'm listening to. And I love that about your music and your performances as well, because it takes the songs that I, listen to in my own time into totally different realms when they are being performed live. What do you feel about your live performance versus your recorded music making? Do they feel like the same space that you tap into, or how do you kind of approach those two different sides of art making?
Yeah, I think for us, we never want to do the same show.
Yeah.
ever. Yeah. Like, we, like, and I think that's just because, like, we want to keep ourselves entertained, like, being in that space, because it just gets boring if you're doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, and so, like, to be able to, like, yeah, I mean, like, we just also, like, you don't want anyone to ever experience something the same as well. Like, well, for us anyway, we always want to be, like, offering a new space or a new experience for people who, like, come and actually, like, pay to see us perform, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a big honour and exchange, and there's heaps of different elements that come into it as well. Like, it's like, you know, if we're, like, getting a bit a larger fee, maybe we'll do something more like extravagant or bring other people in.
Yeah.
And like, we've done that before where we've had people like dance or, you know, like, yeah. And I think in terms of the music, it's just like, yeah, we just will literally perform it how we are feeling.
Mm. It feels like a very authentic thing when you're in the audience. I think that's such a generous thing. You're not putting on a show, you're giving us what you're feeling and what you're wanting to talk about through that music in that moment, and that feels like a very unique way of experiencing music as a listener and as a viewer at a gig as well.
Yeah.
I'm keen to hear a little bit about what you're working on at the moment more broadly. Are you building up to another collection to release for us, or is this a one-off? What's been cooking up in the background, Samara?
I think we're just sort of at this point and at this stage of like life and the world and what's going on, we're sort of just making like singles. Mm-hmm. And we'll release like, I think we'll release some more singles, and I mean, depending on whether we get a summer or not, probably more dancey type of music.
Cool. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, yeah, like, we just sort of, like, make whatever we want to hear.
I think, like, that's the best way to make music, really, isn't it?
Period. Like, yeah, it's just, like, otherwise, you just get, well, for us anyway, you know, I can't speak for anyone else, but we'll just get, like, seriously, seriously bored and seriously unhappy with, like, this, you know, art, like, what is it, you know, path or whatever that we've taken. It's like, it has to be, it has to stay interesting, it has to stay authentic. Like, so if we want to, like, dance to music, they will make some dance music, you know, like,
yeah.
Can't stay emo for ages.
Got to be able to dance the emo off a bit sometimes as well.
Yeah, emo techno.
Emo techno. Hey, I think if there was ever a moment for emo techno to have its time, really the middle of the pandemic would be probably quite a good time for that, I feel. So I'm ready for that era, Samara.
Exactly.
I'm really pleased to see that you've got Alexa Casino, who has helped you out on the mixing and mastering of this. And of course, you've put this out with your record label, Whānau Queenie Control. How has the sort of collaborative aspects of this been? How did it feel sending it off to Alexa? I know you guys are friends. It must have been a nice thing to hear what they had done to the track when they sent it back.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like, to be honest, though, like, it was so hard with the lockdown. Like, this is so dramatic, but it was like, I was just getting so confused with all the different files, and that's like why I had, you know, we didn't know if we were able to like release it on this date.
Yeah, yeah.
Just all the emails and the like files and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, like, what is this life, work, like. But no, it was good. It was like, it was really good. They really did such a good job. And like, honestly, when it's like a collaboration as well, it makes it, I don't know, like, it makes it a lot more real.
Mm.
And like, there's something to celebrate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can celebrate, like, we went and had like a social distance coffee.
Nice.
And got them a social distance some coffee because yay, we did it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You got to be able to celebrate those wins. And I'm so pleased that you have managed to release this track because it's beautiful and it's a really nice sort of headspace to get into, I think, for where everyone's at in the lockdown at the moment. So I think we should probably have a listen to it now, Samara. Thank you so much for chatting to us about BTTG. Looking forward to hearing what else you cook up in the near future, and looking forward to seeing you, hopefully not too far off. So we'll cross our fingers.
Yeah, I know. Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Anytime. Hey, ka kite, have a nice morning.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.